Well, we are a people who seek to be guided by the inspiration of Scripture. And so let's turn to the Word of God in these two readings from the Bible. First, from Psalm 130. I cry out to you from the depths, Lord. My Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears pay close attention to my request for mercy. If you kept track of sins, Lord, my Lord, who would stand a chance? But forgiveness is with you. That's why you're honored. I hope, Lord. My whole being hopes, and I wait for God's promise. My whole being waits for my Lord more than the night watch waits for morning. Yes, more than the night watch waits for morning. Israel, wait for the Lord, because faithful love is with the Lord, because great redemption is with our God. He is the one who will redeem Israel from all its sin. Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew from chapter 18. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? And Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And then Jesus told this parable. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the king ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before his master, the king. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. Well, the servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But then that servant went out, and he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. But when the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged. And they went and told their master, the king, everything that had happened. And then the king called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? Well, you may not be able to tell just from looking around, but in the Christian church, we've entered a new season called Lent. Now, maybe the only thing you know about Lent is that it means that the partying associated with Mardi Gras is over, even if you didn't know that Mardi Gras exists because of the season of Lent. Maybe you've heard that Lent is a period of time when some Christians give up something as an act of faith, even if the reason for giving something up isn't clear to you. Well, you might say that the Christian church's season of Lent suffers from having a bad press agent. We haven't gotten Lent's story out clearly enough. So here are four things you can know about the season of Lent. First, Lent is a season intended for Christians to reflect and prepare their hearts for the celebration of Easter that awaits us at the end of Lent. Now, that's not a spoiler alert. We know that Easter is coming. Second, Lent is 40 days long, sort of. You see, the Sundays aren't included in the 40-day count, so in reality, Lent lasts for 46 days. But a 40-day period is, well, quite biblical. We're reminded of several Bible stories involving 40 days, such as how long it rained when Noah was on the ark, how long Moses was on Mount Sinai, how long it would be until God would punish the city of Nineveh according to the prophet Jonah. And after he was baptized, how long Jesus retreated to the wilderness before he began his ministry. Third, Lent doesn't come from the Bible. Jesus didn't tell us to set aside a period of time called Lent. Lent was devised by the Christian church in its early centuries as an aid for believers to explore and deepen their faith. And fourth, not every Christian denomination observes the season of Lent. And even in Christian traditions that do, like the Presbyterian Church, individual Christians decide if and how they will engage in Lenten practices such as periodic fasting, study, prayer, acts of charity. Well, during Lent here at Rocky River Presbyterian Church, we offer a daily devotional booklet for your personal devotions. If you'd like to have one, just let me know. And during our weekly worship broadcast, I'll be offering a series of messages called Don't Give Up, Biblical Offerings of Hope. This week's installment I call Hope for Another Chance. You know, even if we don't know where it came from, I think we all probably know the expression, let the one who is without sin throw the first stone. Well, it comes from a story in the Gospel of John. A self-righteous mob was preparing to execute justice upon a woman who had committed adultery. They were going to stone her to death. And by the way, in that ancient society, there was no consequence for the man involved, just the woman. Well, without defending what the woman had done, Jesus defended her right for forgiveness and another chance. So Jesus said to the crowd, whichever one of you has committed no sin may throw the first stone at her. Jesus spoke up for her. Through forgiveness, he offered her another chance. And that's a reason for us to put our trust in God. It's in God's nature to forgive, to give us another chance after we've messed up our lives, to give us a chance to make amends after our words or our actions have brought hurt to someone else. And what's more, God's capacity for forgiveness far exceeds anything we can imagine. Earlier, we heard from the Gospel of Matthew an exchange between Jesus and his disciple named Peter. Peter wanted to know how tolerant and forgiving a follower of Jesus could reasonably be expected to be. And so he asked Jesus, if a friend offends or hurts me in some way, how many times should I be expected to forgive him? And then Peter ventured a number that he thought was exceedingly generous. Up to 7 times? Would that be sufficient, Jesus? And Jesus responded, no, not 7 times, but 77 times. Now let's think about that. If someone did you wrong, you could remember 2, 3, 4, maybe 5, maybe 7 times. But could you remember 10 distinct instances of their misbehavior toward you? 2 dozen? 50? 77? Of course not. Jesus was exaggerating to make the point. For a follower of Jesus, forgiveness means not keeping account, countless. Our capacity for forgiveness must be incalculable in its generosity and mercy. Jesus then told a parable describing the kingdom of God. The parable illustrated what it will be like when we adopt God's forgiving nature. In the parable, a king discovered that one of his servants had embezzled an astronomical amount of money, far beyond his ability to repay through working it off. And when the king sentenced the servant and his family to debtor's prison, the servant begged, he begged the king for leniency, vowing to figure out a way to repay the debt. But the king took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. Now the parable goes on, but right there at the beginning of the story, Jesus made his point about the kingdom of God. He made his point about what life will be like when God's way becomes our way. Jesus asserted that forgiveness is in God's nature. What's more, no matter how many or how great our sins, God's ability and willingness to forgive exceeds our capacity to offend or cheat or hurt or fail. Forgiveness, it's God's nature. We heard that in the words of Psalm 130. Do you remember? If you kept track of sins, Lord, my Lord, who would stand a chance? But forgiveness is with you. That's why you are honored. God gives us another chance. 77 other chances. Countless new opportunities. We're encouraged to rely on God's power and mercy so that we can offer forgiveness and another chance to those who have offended us. Forgiveness is a gift that has the power to erase seemingly immovable obstacles separating people. For instance, once upon a time, two brothers who lived on adjoining farms fell into conflict. It was the first serious rift in 40 years of brothers Rodney and Ian farming side by side, sharing machinery, trading labor and goods as needed without a hitch. But then the long collaboration fell apart. It began with a small misunderstanding. And it grew into a major difference, and finally it exploded into an exchange of bitter words followed by weeks of silence. One morning there was a knock on Rodney's door. He opened it to find a man with a carpenter's toolbox. The man said, "I'm looking for a few days' work. Perhaps you would have a few small jobs for me here and there that I could help with?" Rodney said, "Yes, I do have a job for you. You see that farm on the other side of that creek? That's my neighbor. In fact, it's my younger brother, Ian. Last week, there was a meadow between us, but Ian took his bulldozer over to the river levee, and now there's a creek between us. Well, he may have done that to spite me, but I'm going to do him one better. You see that pile of lumber over by the barn? I want you to build me a fence, an 8-foot fence, so I won't need to see his place or his face anymore." And the carpenter said, "Okay, I think I understand the situation. Show me the nails, the post hole digger, and I'll do a job that pleases you." Well, Rodney had to go to town, so he helped the carpenter get the materials ready, and then Rodney left for the day. The carpenter worked hard all that day, measuring and sawing and nailing. About sunset, when Rodney returned, the carpenter had just finished his job. Rodney's eyes opened wide. His jaw dropped. There was no fence there at all. It was a bridge. A bridge stretching from one side of the creek to the other. A fine piece of work, handrails and all. And younger brother Ian was walking up to the far side of that bridge. He called out to Rodney, "Brother, you're quite a fellow to build this bridge after all I've said and done." The two brothers stood at each end of the bridge, and then they met in the middle, taking each other by the hand. They turned to see the carpenter hoisting his toolbox onto his shoulder. And Rodney said, "No, wait, stay for a few days. I've got lots of other projects for you." And the carpenter replied, "I'd love to stay on, but I have many more bridges to build." God's forgiveness is our bridge builder, offering us another chance to restore broken relationships with family members that we've hurt, to restore broken relationships with friends we've turned our backs on, to recover our relationship with God that we'd broken off when we found ourselves in a pit of despair or in an angry fit of self-importance. In the words and examples of Jesus, we see that God blesses us with hope for another chance. Because we love and are loved by Jesus, we know we can ask for forgiveness when we're sorry, when we repent of hurtful, sinful words and actions. Jesus blesses us with the ability to offer forgiveness when others have hurt us, not just one time, not just seven times, but 77 times, an infinite reservoir of forgiveness and love. Amen.